Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text which is the basis of our meditation this morning, we find written in the third chapter, 1 Timothy, reading from the first verse as follows. This is a true saying. If a man is eager to be a church leader, he desires an excellent work. A church leader must be without fault. He must have only one wife, be sober, self-controlled, and orderly. He must welcome strangers in his home. He must be able to teach. He must not be a drunkard or a violent man, but gentle and peaceful. He must not love money. He must be able to manage his own family well and make his children obey him with all respect. For a man does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of the church of God? He must be mature in the faith, so he will not swell up with pride and be condemned as the devil was. He should be a man who is respected by the people outside the church, so he will not be disgraced and fall into the devil's trap. That is our text. May the words in my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to God, who loved us in Christ, friends in Christ. It's certainly a pleasure and a thrill to be with the seminary family this week. I've looked forward to it for many weeks, and I'm sure that I will gain more from it than what you will gain from me. The church is very proud of Concordia Seminary, and the church looks to the seminary to produce leaders, leaders who are able to cope with the situation of the world today, leaders who will be able to take an uncompromising stand but yet minister to the needs of the people. And the church is confident that you will be such leaders for the church when the Lord grants you that call and that position to go out into the field. The many changes in the church, and we're not to minimize the needs of leadership in a year's time, but we need leaders today. 20 years ago, society just rather frowned on some of the immoral actions of the members of society. 10 years ago, society condoned them. Today, society encourages them. 20 years ago, and I speak now as a person from mid-rural America, having spent all of my life, with the exception of a few years, in Oklahoma, Kansas, and Nebraska. 20 years ago, divorces were very, very uncommon and very much frowned upon. 10 years ago, the clergy and people would just kind of turn their back and say, oh, so they got a divorce. Today, with the no-fault divorce laws, divorces are in increase and not uncommon. In 1975, we had 40-some weddings in our parish and almost 30 divorces. For years past, it was uncommon to have a broken home in a parochial school. Today, in our day school, we have over a fourth of the members, students of our Christian day school, come from broken homes. Now, this is also now speaking from mid-rural America. Yes, 20 years ago, it was very uncommon that people lived together before they were married, and society kind of frowned upon it. 10 years ago, society condoned it and the church turned their back. Today, every month I uncover a young couple or some people living together not married. And when you approach them as a pastor, and even as the presence of a pastor appears to be law at times, they really find nothing wrong in it. It is to such a society and such a place in which we need church leaders today. The Apostle Paul speaks much about the qualifications of a church leader. He begins by saying that this is a faithful saying, this is a true saying, that if you desire the office of an overseer, overseership, you desire a good work or a good task. All of you desire that kind of an office. You desire to be a church leader. You want to be a church leader, and that's why you're here. And God, through the Apostle Paul, is saying, that's a good task. It's great that you are aspiring to this. But he's using that word in a little different sense. It's a good work, it's a good task, not just because of the honor that people have placed upon a church leader, or that even society places upon the church leader, or even the scriptures place upon that work the church leader, as Paul does in Ephesians 4:11. But our text really indicates it's a good time because the leaders are willing to give their entire self for that time. They're not only willing to be trained, but to give their life for it. They're not only willing to be trained and to give their life, but to spend all of the energy and even requiring energy from above, from God, so that they can carry out that time. Because it's not only a worthy time, it's a necessary time. And then he goes on to list some of the qualifications. Paul is not telling Timothy to create positions of church leadership. They were there. He is saying, now find people that are qualified for those positions of church leadership. And then he lists these qualifications. He must be without fault, or as some versions say, blameless. We have two words in our English vocabulary that speak about our entire text. And the one is character, and the other is integrity. Character is that quality which sets a person apart from others, meaning that there is a difference. And this is what we really need in church leaders today, that have character, and that by their very sum total qualities and qualifications that they possess, they are set apart, not differently as lay people to clergy, but set apart because of what they are, their character, the sum total of their qualities. And integrity really means that condition or that quality that indicates a wholeness, a completeness, an honesty, a purity. This is what our text is speaking. And our time is too short to take all these qualifications and list them. But here we find two words in our vocabulary that speak just like these entire verses do. For he says he must be blameless without fault. And we would then expect that a church leader would be above reproach. Above reproach in all of the things that our text speaks about, which is very familiar to you. Above reproach because the people he ministers to are also sinful human beings. And above reproach so that they cannot take issue with anything he says, with anything that he does, the life that he lives, the things that he stands for, his character and his integrity. He must be blameless without fault. And then he lists the various ones that you well know, the husband of one wife, sober, self-controlled, orderly. A group here which indicates very strongly that it is a qualification that needs to be met, that it is more than just mental or emotional, it's a total being type of aspect. He must not be a drunkard or violent. Gentle he must be, and peaceful, not love money. We have enough clergymen and enough leaders in the church today who really, when they go to a church meeting, they cannot wait until they go out and go to the bar, who really find excuses not to attend meetings of spiritual growth. And here he lists them. And we don't need any more of those. Here he lists that he must be mature. Some versions say novice, mature in the faith. And where does this begin? It begins in training. It begins before we become a church leader. And a church leader then starts where? It starts here. And the church is looking forward to having leaders come out to them to help them with the task of the ministry and to fulfill the qualifications that we find in God's Word, and that we then become spiritually mature. A church leader can only lift the people to the same ground that he is walking on. If he's walking in the gutter, if he's walking in that kind of a level, that's all the further that he can lift the people through the help of God's Spirit. A church leader then must be mature. But here we find in our text, he indicates a maturation process, willing to continue to mature. A parish pastor, a church leader, matures every day of his ministry as he studies, as he works with people, as he prays, develops a relationship with God. We look then to you to be those church, the kind of church leaders for the church of today and tomorrow. And we are confident that the faculty under whom you sit at this time are giving that dimension so that the church will move onward, upward, and forward. We're excited about it. We hope that you are. We look forward to having you out in the field, working with us, shoulder to shoulder, side by side, in an ongoing spiritual maturation process. May God grant that to each one of us. Amen. May the peace of God, which is beyond our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ until he calls us to himself for eternity. Amen.